So we have finished the Sermon on the Mount series, but we're continuing on with the Kingdom of Heaven, and we're going to do a small series on parables of the kingdom. And this is part one, and the subtitle would be Laborers in the Vineyard. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I know we've gone over what a parable is before, but I wanted to just touch on it real quickly. One of the things about why Jesus taught in parables was that the truth could be spoken, but it would be veiled from those who seeing see not and hearing hear not. And they're used to enlighten the hearer to spiritual truths. It's a figure of speech which emphasizes a truth more than just a statement of fact. Enters deeply into the heart. Some, and including myself over the past, I've called parables an extended metaphor. And I do not hold to that, because as I'm looking at it, it's actually an extended simile. A simile is where you would, I'll use Liam. Liam, when he wrestles, is like a tiger. Okay? Is he a tiger? No, but he's like a tiger. And we'll look at, you know, then you would look at the circumstances and conditions that were like in him, maybe his ferocity, his fierceness.
Stripes.
Yeah, maybe even stripes. But as I was looking at these parables, the different parables, and we're not going to go over all of them, but as I was looking at these parables, they start out, for the kingdom of heaven is like. That should stay right there, that this is going to be an extended simile, and not necessarily an extended metaphor. Not that that matters, but I thought I'd just clear that up a little bit. And when we look at this parable today, we'll start in verse 1. And it starts out like this. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. And householder would be like the master of the house, or the master of, in this case, the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, verse 5. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand you here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, Go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, their money. beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." And that's the text for today. And we're going to break this down and take a good look at it. Now, many times when you have a parable, Jesus would then explain the parable. But here, he doesn't. Because of the situation, it should have been abundantly clear what he was talking about. Now, having said that, there is a multiplicity of ideas of what this means, ranging from the Jews and the Gentiles to all over the place, all over the map. And I pray that I'm doing this justice, and I've put a lot of heart into it. And I really hold true to one concept, and that is the context is king when it comes to understanding. Context is king, and we will look at that today as we go through this. Starting in verse 1, the first word of verse 1 is, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man." Starts out with the word "for." And the word "for" there is a Greek, in the Greek, is a conjunction linking what was before to what is after. "For," assigning a reason. Now, we're going to look at that "for" later. So hold that. Hold me to it. If I forget, you jump all over me. All right? So, looking at the context. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went about early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." In the lands and times of the Bible, the day started early for the laborers. Usually it's a 12-hour day. It was the hours of sunlight. They started even before sunlight, and they finished when the stars showed up. I've heard reading about this. So the 12-hour day. So let's just say they start at 6, and that's quite common. For a day laborer, that's a laborer who works a day. "He went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." It's kind of like when you go to Home Depot and you see all the people showing up in the parking lot and they get hired for their day labor. It's not unusual, it's no different. The good man of the house, he went to the marketplace to hire day laborers. And when, this is a very important point, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. When they had agreed, this agreed, it's an agreement. They had come to terms of what they were expected and what they expected of the master of the vineyard. And it's, the King James says a penny a day. Denarius was the actual coin, a silver coin. And I'm not going to get into like inflation and all that stuff, but it was considered a good wage, an honest wage for a day's work. It was also the wage per day for a Roman soldier. So they had made an agreement. It was verbal, I'm sure, but it was like a contract, a verbal contract. The workers, the laborers, didn't work until they had made their agreement with the good man of the vineyard to work for that much a day. An honest wage. A good wage for a day. Starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, right? Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour. The third hour of the day, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Well, what's the third hour of the day? About 9 o'clock, right? Mid-morning-ish, about 9 o'clock. And they were standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Here's a point I never saw really before. What did they agree upon? Whatever was right. No contract. No, I'm working for this much. Whatever's right. And they trusted who that it was right? The master of the vineyard. And never really jumped out at me before. So I'm learning, you know. And they went their way. So at 9 o'clock. Again, he went out about the sixth hour. The sixth hour would be 12 noon-ish. And the ninth hour. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And did likewise. And about the 11th hour, and you hear that term used, at the 11th hour, the deal was made, or at the 11th hour, the strike was halted, or at the 11th, right, at the like the last moment, they get that from the Bible. I think that's so cool. At the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Now, this last sentence is not in the best text, where he says, whatsoever is right, that you shall receive. It's kind of implied when you look at verse 5, he said, and he did likewise. But it's not stated. So that's not actually in the text. Verse 8. So when evening was come, and how long is the work day? About 12 hours. So they're showing up at 5, 6, before the sun goes down, depending on what time of the year it is. They're showing up at the last bit of work, right? So When even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, his steward, his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny, every man a denarius, every man a wage that is assumed, or usually for a day's work. And they showed up at the 11th hour. Is that fair? Is that right? Is that the master's prerogative? So, verse 10. But when the first came, the ones who had worked all day, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Which group had an agreement? The first group. The ones that showed up at the beginning of the day. They agreed. They agreed. They were happy with the agreement because they agreed. It wasn't just like, this is what I'm offering you, take it or leave it. It was the sum that was agreed upon. And now they didn't like it. Why didn't they like it? Because someone else was getting blessed. Someone else was getting the same that they got for working less. And they thought it wasn't fair. They thought it wasn't right. And their reasoning was this, verse 12. Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. They had it figured out. They had what was right in their own eyes, that it just wasn't right. Notice they didn't say, well, they should have got less. They said, we should have got more. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny, for a denarius? Wasn't that your idea to work all day for a day's wage, a fair wage, a denarius? And basically in verse 14, he says, take your money, take what's yours, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful, verse 15, for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now, when you look in the Word of God, what an evil eye is, it's not like a witch gives you the evil eye and throws a curse on you. It's a Hebrew, a Hebraism. An evil eye is a stingy, covetous, greedy, grudging, envious look. But it starts from the heart. The problem was that they didn't get enough. The problem was somebody else got some. So they were envious. They didn't think it was fair. But I love how the good man of the house says, isn't it lawful for me to do what I want to do with what's mine? And I think about this, about God. In chapter 33-ish of, Exodus. Moses is talking to God, and God says to him, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy unto whom I show mercy. Whose prerogative is it? God. So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, we just got done looking at, he's teaching the ways of the kingdom. And here, you know what he's still teaching about? The kingdom. Yeah. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. So he's continuing. It's not like, I'm done teaching about the kingdom now. Everybody off the mountain. He's continuing to teach about the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And there's so many ideas about what this means. I look at that word. Let's start with the word first. The word first is a Greek word protos. And it means, can be first in rank, first in order. It can be first in position. It can be first in honor, first in influence, first in reward. So he's saying the last, which is a Greek word that can mean last in order, but it also means the lowest. The lowest being those who deserve the least. The lowest. So when he says the last, they were also in this parable, they were the last ones to show up to work, but they're also the ones who, according to man's reasonings, should receive the least reward. But they shall be first, and the first shall be last. And when we look at that, you know, what does that mean? You can interject all kinds of ideas about it. And now we'll look at the first word in this parable. For, a conjunction, linking that which was before to that which follows, assigning reasoning from that which is before to that which follows. And what happened just before this, we'll pick up in verse 27 of chapter 19. It's Peter. Gotta love him. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, hold that thought, and now we'll look at what came after this parable. So if you go to, verse verse 20 of chapter 20. Now, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. That would be James and John. With her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what will thou? What do you want? And she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left hand, in thy kingdom. A little influence, a little honor, maybe? And Jesus said, answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Verse 24. And when the 10, so who's he talking to? Who's this whole parable? Who is he really directing this to? His apostles, right? So when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Why were they moved with indignation? Because maybe they thought that that spot maybe could go to, I don't know, me kind of thing, right? They're moved with indignation against the two brethren. And Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Among you where? Kingdom. You see? It shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great, mega, among you, let him be your minister. This minister doesn't mean minister like we think today. Oh, he's a minister. Minister in the Greek here is talking about the most menial of slaves, the most menial of servants. He was like the waiter. He was like an attendant. He was like what we call a gopher today. Go for this and go for that, right? Let him be your minister. Him who's great, let him be the gopher. You go on a job site, does he get any lower than the gopher? No. He's just a gopher. So, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Do you see how the whole concept of merit, the whole concept of I should be, look at the word chief in that verse. Look at the word chief. Same word as first. Same word, protos. And whosoever will be chief, first in honor, first in influence, first in position, let him be your servant, doulos, bond slave. Even as, and here's another one, here's a simile, even as, or just like, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, this is the context that this parable is given, where people are maybe concerned. I think it's like a shot across the bow, a nice warning for the apostles to get their hearts right. Don't be worrying about who's going to be top dog, who's at my right hand, who's in my left hand. Not to be worried about someone else having more glory or more influence or more position than me. For the first, or the last shall be the lowest, shall be the first, the chiefest, right? And the chiefest will be your servant, the greatest servant. So in the kingdom of heaven, it's not about entitlement. It's not about position. It's not about, the ways of the kingdom are different. And if there's reward, and if there's favor given, so what? Whose prerogative is it? I will be gracious to whom I am gracious, and I will show mercy unto whom I show mercy. We don't live our lives now to be in the, to think our merit is going to merit some kind of reward. That's the wrong heart that Jesus is talking about in the kingdom. Who's going to be the chiefest? The servant. The servant. And that's what this parable is about. It's about you 12 apostles who have given up so much and have dropped what you're doing and followed me. Think about this heart that you should have. And then serve that way. And then give that way. And then live that way. Think that way. Because in the world, people think they're entitled to things. Because of my position, I'm a this, I'm a that. Because of my successes, I've done this and I've done that. My accomplishments, I've done this, that. How about my education, for crying out loud? I've got a BS degree. And if you want more of it, you have an MS degree. And then you get a PhD, you're piled higher and deeper degree. No, I honestly, I'm glad there's people who have learned and become, get bachelors of science and masters of science. In so many fields, it's so important that we have that. But it doesn't entitle you to anything when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. Well, I was born of this family, and that's the number one family in town. Doesn't entitle you to anything in the kingdom of heaven. It's about your heart. It's about your service. It's about the attitude. Just like Jesus, who didn't come to be ministered. If anyone should be entitled to being ministered unto, it's the Son of God, the Christ, the anointed one of Israel. But he didn't come to be ministered unto. He came to minister unto Israel and gave his life. And I really believe in my heart of hearts, that's what this is talking about in this parable. And that's the context where it sits that gives the understanding. Hence, it doesn't necessarily need a follow-up explanation. They're in the topic, and Jesus teaches that while they're in the topic. Amen? Amen.